put it on the table out here several years ago. We were trying to get rid of some of the books from the library. I picked it up. It was a neat little book on chalk drawing talks. So it's a little updated. That's a chalkboard, so it is a chalk drawing, but only in the new method. We should have handed out the handout, the little drawing. Yeah, says search the scriptures. We're going to talk about searching the scriptures today. Basic Christian doctrine and teaching. You know, if you have your Bible and you can open it up again to John 5:39, this is probably one of the classic verses on searching the scriptures. And you know, I guess the scholars say that the original text can be taken either way. One is where Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life." And what he was saying, no, they're telling you about me. There's no eternal life in the scriptures themselves, but that's what they believed. But it can also be taken as a command. Search the scriptures. And so today we're going to look at 10 keys on how to search the scriptures and really get from the scriptures what God is wanting us to. And there's a story. I want to start with a story that kind of illustrates the idea of searching. And the story, it goes back over 150 years ago. And a Mormon wagon train was on its way out, I think on the Oregon Trail or out west. And in the process of crossing, you know, the prairie, this one family, Robert and Ann Parker, had a little six-year-old boy. And one day as they were traveling, a storm came up. And in the midst of this storm, the little boy wandered off and got lost. You can imagine how the parents felt and the rest of the party. They for 2 days, they did a organized search to try and find this little boy, and they were unsuccessful. And finally, after 2 days, the group said, "We've got to keep going. The winter's going to be coming on." And so the company began to move on, but Anne, the mother, told the father, you know, "Please go keep looking for him." And so there's a journal account record of what happened. Says Ann Parker, the mother, pinned a bright red shawl about the thin shoulders of her husband and sent him back alone to on the trail to search again for their child. She said, "If you find him dead, I want you to wrap him in the shawl. But if alive, the shawl should be a flag to signal to the company that he's alive." So Anne and her children took up their load and struggled along with the company while Robert retraced the miles on the trail. Calling and searching and praying for his helpless little son. Now, what do you think? Do you think he just kind of drifted along the trail, looked over here? "Hey, over there, anybody there?" No. He would have diligently searched behind every thicket, every clump of trees, every gully, every wash. He would have been very intent in his search for his little boy. Well, at last he reached a trading station where he learned that his child had been found and cared for by a woodsman and his wife, and the boy had been ill from exposure and from fright, But God had heard their prayers, and he had been found. And so on the trail each night, Anne and her children kept watch. And when on the third night, as the sun was going down, she caught the glimmer of a bright red shawl above the husband's head. And so the brave little mother sank into a pitiful heap in the sand, and for the first time in six nights, she could sleep. So this story illustrates the idea of searching. And this is the way we need to search this word, because we can find in it things even more valuable than a six-year-old boy. So we're going to start with the first one here. And as we read the verse, I want you to, we're going to be looking for a word that starts with the letter S. And so we want to see, get the focus of this verse. And it's Luke 24, verse 27. And I have it both in King James and in New Living Translation. Luke 24 is the story of Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus with the disciples after his resurrection, and they don't know he's been resurrected. But he starts talking to him. He says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And in NLT, it's Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets. So this would have been a Bible study. Now, how many of you would have liked to have been in that Bible study with Jesus? That would have been a Bible study to be on. And in, you can, you know, people have wondered, what did he talk about? What did he share with them? And I'm going to go through a list, and it's not exhaustive, and he had probably several hours to talk to them. So he may have gone through many, many more than this, but probably he started at the beginning in Genesis. Genesis 3 and verse 15 is where the first promise of a Messiah. And he may have told them, remember how there in clear back in Genesis 3, the Messiah was prophesied, promised, and how Moses in Exodus 12 talked about the lamb that would be without blemish and be perfect for the Passover, and how in Numbers, the bronze serpent that Moses set up for people to be healed, and how that illustrated how the Messiah was going to take on the sins of the world and be like a serpent, and how he would be in Numbers, you don't have these down, but in Numbers 24:17, talk about a star out of Jacob, Balaam, prophesying that there would be the star. And he said, remember there was a star above Bethlehem. And probably as they were going along, and he kept bringing up all these various Bible verses from the Old Testament, they would have said, yeah, that's exactly right. That's what happened. And he might have reminded them about some of the Psalms 22, where the Messiah is quoted, my God, why have you forsaken me? And how they would say, oh, let him deliver himself, and how his hands and feet would be pierced. All these prophecies from the Old Testament that he would have brought back to their remembrance, and all in one time laid out, this had to be the right person that was crucified and was truly the Messiah. So what word starting with S would describe probably the method in which Jesus took them through that Bible study? Okay. Systematically. So if you look along the sides, it's search the scriptures. So we're going to be going through every letter of the word scriptures, one by one, and we're going to be trying to pull together 10 keys to studying the scriptures. The first one is to study it systematically. And that could mean having a daily reading program, or when you're looking at a particular topic, finding every verse you can in the Bible related to that topic. Put them all together and see what does the Bible have to say on a particular topic. So the next one, there is Deuteronomy 15, verse 5. We're looking for a letter, a word starting with the letter C. So only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. So what word do you think would start with a C that would describe another key in how we want to search this? Huh? Carefully. All right. Very good. You're picking it up. Carefully. Search it carefully. So this verse is talking about how we want to carefully obey the voice of the Lord. And God's words, His commandments, are the scriptures. So we want a careful Bible study, comparing scripture with scripture. You know, Isaiah 28:10 talks about precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how we put verses together, a string of verses that can lead us to truth. A lot of times you can focus on one verse and it might be a little confusing. But I remember one time hearing somebody talk about a line of fence posts. And if you have one fence post that's just a little bit out of line of the rest of the line, you don't focus on that one fence post that's out of line and say that's really the line. Rather, you focus on the full length of the line and you say, oh, that one's just a little bit out of line. And that's how it is with all these Bible texts that we're looking at. We want to put it in the context of everything else. And we want to realize, just like we want to be like Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So we want to carefully study God's word and realize that there are two words. One is called exegesis, the other is eisegesis. These are Greek words. Exegesis means pulling out of the text what the Bible is saying. Eisegesis is trying to read into the text what you want it to say. And so we want to be pulling out from God's word what it's saying. Rather, in other words, come to God's word with an open mind, not with preset ideas, and trying to read in and trying to force a particular text to say what you want it to say, but rather, what is God really trying to say to me? So we need to be careful in our search of the scriptures. Okay, the next one is there in Psalm 119, 161, and that one says, one's a little different. It's going to be a word starting with R, describing a search. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. My heart trembles only at your word. So what word with an R would describe standing in awe of God's word? Reverently. The R there is search the scriptures reverently and realizing who it is that inspired these words. And it's, we need to approach God's word with awe and reverence. We need to remember that according to Psalm 33, verse 6, that by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So God spoke, and things came into existence. Now, if he followed the laws that he set up of physics, there is a formula that Einstein discovered over 100 years ago, and it's this one here. Anybody recognize this formula? E equals mc squared. It's one of the most famous science formulas out there. E stands for what? Energy. And the M stands for mass. And the C is the speed of light. And then squared. So the speed of light's already a big number, right? And you square a big number, and what do you get? An even bigger number, right? All right, just to kind of grasp this idea, because if you're going to go from speaking and taking energy, converting it into mass, the opposite takes place in an atomic bomb, where some of that mass is converted into energy. So you're talking about going the other way. We're talking about what kind of a God do we serve, and what kind of a God put this Bible together. And it's a God that could take energy and convert it into mass. Well, that's a lot of energy. 1 gram, just to give you an idea. How many years would the energy from 1 gram of matter, if you converted 1 gram of matter, that's 1 cc of water, 1 milliliter of water, just a little tiny bit, but converted it all into energy. How long would that be able to power a 100 light bulb? Anybody got a guess? It's longer than our life. It's a lot longer than our life. 28,520 years it would keep a 100 light bulb burning. That's a lot of energy. That's a lot of heat. You know, we put out approximately the heat equivalent of a 100 watt light bulb. That's why things warm up in the room after a while, because we've got all these 100 watt light bulbs putting out energy and heat, right? And it warms up. Well, now, let's make it one more step. How much does our Earth weigh? That many grams. And I think that's 5 octillion. I had to look it up in Wikipedia to see, when you get out that many zeros, what do you call that? And it's an octillion. So it's almost 6 octillion. That's a lot. And now you're taking energy and converting it into mass to make the Earth, and that's just the one little planet in the galaxy of 100,000 suns. We serve a God who is incredibly powerful, and so we need to be reverent and realize who we are dealing with. So with that, let's move to the next one, and that's in Proverbs 2. This is starting with an I, and you're probably not going to find it directly in this verse. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. In NLT, you know, listen to what I say, treasure my commands, tune your ears to wisdom, and concentrate on understanding. So, any thoughts on what the word starting with I would be that would describe how we're to search the scriptures? You're not going to guess it, I'm sure. It's intently. Intently. Now, intently, I looked up the dictionary definition, means with earnest and eager attention, attentively, closely, keenly, earnestly. We need to apply our hearts into wisdom. So it's with an intent heart, we need to be searching the scriptures and seeing what is God trying to tell us. Now the next one, starting with P, is here in Psalm 119, verse 18. The psalmist, David, in 119, is talking to God. And what's another word for talking to God? Prayer, right? So he's talking to God, he's praying, and he's saying, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law, wonderful truths from your instructions." So another way, and in fact, probably the first thing we need to do before we search the scriptures is what? Prayerfully. We need to search the scriptures prayerfully. And that is important because if we come at the scriptures just purely from a human standpoint, we are going to miss. We are going to not hear God's voice. So we need to pray that the Lord will take the dimness away from our soul, from our eyes, that he will grant to us the Holy Spirit who alone can reveal the things of God to us. So prayer is essential as we come to search God's Word. And, you know, Paul told the Corinthians that his Jewish family had blinders on their eyes when they went to read the Old Testament. Just like Jesus took those blinders off the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he wants to do that too, so that when we're reading the Old Testament, we're seeing Jesus all the way through the Old and the New Testament. It's all there too. So, now, moving on to the next one. In Acts 24:14, Paul is brought before, I'm not sure who he was before, but it was one of his trials, and he says, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." In New NLT, it's, "I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the prophets." So he's believing, he's firmly believing. So what would be a word starting with T? What was that? Yeah, T, trustfully. Trustingly, search the scriptures trustingly. So we need to trust that what we're reading is true. Even from Genesis 1:1, from the beginning, we need to trust that what it's telling us is an accurate portrayal of history, and that is written by somebody that was there. I just was studying with somebody, and we were going through Genesis 1 and creation, and we were describing, I was talking about how, you know, Moses, while Moses lived, 2,500 years after creation, there was really only 7 passages of the information, of the story, to reach Moses. Because Adam and Methuselah would have lived together for probably 300 years. Adam would have been able to tell Methuselah everything from the creation story. Methuselah dies the year of the flood. He lives for several for 100 years or so with the children of Noah who live on after the flood. And so the connection between Adam and Moses is not that many connections. So the story we can truly trust in, that it's accurate, and that we can bet our life on it. So moving on to the next one here. In Acts, again, chapter 8, verse 30, this is a word starting with you. This is a story of Philip and the eunuch, and Philip running up to the eunuch in the chariot, says, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" You know, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked that important question. Do you understand? So when we search the scriptures, what word here? Understandingly. We need to search understandingly. And this is really, a lot of times, a really good way to start a spiritual conversation with somebody is by asking them a question. Understanding. There's a story told by a noted Bible scholar, Mr. James Gray, and he told a story about how that when he was a young Bible teacher, he became deeply impressed by the peace and spiritual poise of a friend with whom he often talked. And Mr. Gray wanted the same kind of stability, and he asked his companion the secret of his confident bearing and positive outlook. He said, the friend said, "Well, it all started through reading Ephesians." And Mr. Gray, "Well, I've read Ephesians, you know." He looked a little bewildered. What do you mean? And so the story came out that this man one day took a small, just the book of Ephesians on a trip, and in a short period of time, in one afternoon, he read the book through 15 times. And he said, after reading 15 times through, when I rose to go into the house, I was in possession of Ephesians, or rather, Ephesians was in possession of me. I had the feeling that I had been lifted up to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, a feeling that was new to me. So this testimony encouraged Gray to master the scriptures for himself. He began to saturate his mind and heart with God's word. A number of years ago, we had a speaker here, Dr. Leslie Harding. Dr. Harding has passed away, but I remember he was a tremendous Bible student, and he shared with us that weekend that he was here that if you really want to understand a passage or a chapter or a book, he said, you've got to read it at least 50 times. Just read through. He said, after you've read through 50 times, it just begins to totally come together for you. Before it will start to sink in. And it's not bad to ask for help. If you're having trouble understanding something, ask the pastor, ask the elders. Commentaries, there are good commentaries. There's Jameson Fawcett Brand, the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary. Is an excellent source. The whole Bible commentary is about this thick. 7 volumes to cover the Bible. I remember one of my teachers at Loma Linda when I was going through Maxwell. His father had written the Bible storybook, the 10-volume Bible storybook. Anyway, he was a religion teacher at Loma Linda, and I remember he had a class on the book of Romans. And he shared with us that he had been asked, Romans is what he had done his PhD research in. And he then was asked by the General Conference to head up writing the commentary section on the book of Romans. He said, well, For my PhD, I spent 2,000 hours studying the book of Romans. For the commentary, I spent another 4,000 hours studying just the book of Romans. So think after 6,000 hours of studying a book, you might have a little understanding of it. Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to, that unless you spend 6,000 hours, you're not going to understand. But believe me, you will have more and more. Next one, starting with R, in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." This is talking about what? Memorizing God's word, right? Putting it into the heart, memorizing it. So what word starting with R do you think? Retentively. You want to retain God's word. So you want to search the scriptures. You want to spend time putting God's word into your long-term memory. And this is a time to plug the Bible memorization course. This is a great opportunity to work on memorizing, putting God's word. I've been in that class and also doing my own kind of series, and I find that if I take a verse and add it to another group of verses, and I'm going through, basically I have 8 Bible verses that I'm working on at a time, and every week I drop one off and add another one in. So each verse, as I work through, I'm going through it every day for 8 weeks, roughly 60 times, 8 weeks. And it's amazing how, as you go over that every day for 8 weeks, it takes it from your short-term memory and puts it into long-term memory, where it's actually rewiring your brain so that is now in long-term memory. So it takes about 8 weeks of daily going through a verse before it gets stuck into long-term memory. All right, we're coming down to the end here. Next one is in Acts 17. This one is actually two words, but the first one of those two starts with the letter E. This is the story of the Bereans. They were more fair-minded, that means more open-minded, than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true. So they searched the scriptures day after day. So what would be the phrase starting with E? Earnestly, that's a good one. Every day. And this is key, is every day. So I encourage you, appeal to you, if you're not doing it every day, start, even if it's 5 minutes. And you find that over time, that 5 becomes 10, and then 15, and then 30. And you want to keep going. As you begin, the more you read, search the scriptures, the more the connections begin to come all over, and you begin to see all of the beautiful connections. Last one here, Psalm 91, verse 1. This one's a little difficult. He dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So, what word, starting with S, do you think we're looking for? Secretly. I think that means basically find a quiet place to study, as quiet as possible, depending on what's going on in your life and in your in your house. You want to find a place where you can quiet your thoughts and just spend time with God and with His Word, and listen, because you're wanting to hear His voice speak to you from the Scriptures as you're reading. What are you wanting to say to me today? I want to end with a little exercise that I call You Say, God Says. And as you leave today, the deacons are going to pass out a sheet that has these. There's 14 little sayings here. Have they already passed it out? Oh, I was wanting to leave it until the end. Okay, all right. But this is You Say, God Says. You say, it's impossible. Anybody ever thought that? Said, it's just impossible. I'm in an impossible situation. But God says there in Luke 18, all things are possible to God. And then again, you say, or I say, I'm too tired. But what does God say? God says in Matthew 11, I will give you rest. And again you say, nobody loves me. A lot of people in our world today that think that, nobody loves them. But God says, no, John 3:16, I love you. And then you say, I just can't go on. I'm at my wit's end. But God says, my grace is sufficient. And then you say, I just can't figure things out. How many of you have been there? It's a perplexing situation in your life. But God says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, don't trust, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He says, I will direct your steps if you acknowledge me. And then you say, I can't do it, but God says, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Or maybe you've heard yourself say, I'm not able to do that. And it may be even something that the nominating committee may ask you to do. And you say, I can't do that. But God says, I am able. He wants to, through us, be able to do whatever it is that He's asking. You might say, it's not worth it. And a lot of times we think it's just not worth it. But God says in Romans 8:28, all things work together. It will be worth it. All things work together for good. You say, I can't forgive myself. It's just, I've gone beyond God's limit. But no, God says in 1 John 1:9, all He's asking is for us to confess. I forgive you and will cleanse you. And then, I can't manage. There's just too many things going on. I can't manage. But God says, I'll supply all your needs, Philippians 4:19. And then, I'm afraid. A lot of things to be afraid of, but God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. He wants us to give a fear, a sound mind that's not afraid. And then, I'm always worried and frustrated. God says, cast all your cares, all your worries, all your anxieties on me, and let me deal with them. And I'm just not smart enough. A lot of people feel that way. But God says, I give you wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30. And I feel all alone. A lot of people feel this way. But God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the God that we serve, and this is the God who's given us His Word, and He wants us to search it. So, in closing, we're going to sing the song, Give Me the Bible, 272. Let's sing, Give Me the Bible.